Yeah, g'day everyone. Welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. This is our round 10 preview for Magic Round. We've got a Tripod event on this weekend with Winnie and a couple of the guys at Suncorp, which is going to be Magic. It's going to be a great round of footy. Before we get to all that and look at all the games, let me welcome in my co-host Winnie, as usual. Mate, how are you going?
Good, thanks, mate. Happy to be here. So hyped for Magic Round. Off a good round 9. 4-1, we went on our best bets, and we won the mixed matchup as well. We lost the same gamer, and I had a round multi as well, which did go down. But we got back in positive territory on the best bets and mixed matchups, and still in really healthy territory for multis, as you guys know. And of course, this is a historic weekend with Sunday being our social event. 40-plus pod members coming along with tickets, plus many more who are going to be there and come say g'day. 3 more tickets up for grabs if you are somebody who watches us every week and is keen to come along and can make it on Sunday. So stay tuned. Some tripod trivia is going to determine who wins that. Look, only shame of the whole weekend is probably no Thursday footy, but I want to give a really early tip, guys, for me to do my best bets. You get smart on Thursday night. You get your odd jobs done around the house. You put a shift in with the missus, with the family. You do what you need to do to free up more time for a footy feast Friday to Sunday.
Mate, the only better tip I've got than that is not to freeze and stare at the camera for 30 seconds when it's time to go to the best bets like I did in our round 8 preview, I think it was. But with that, let's move on to our best bets. It is one of everyone's favorite segments that's here on the show. It is available to sponsor right now if you guys are interested in that. Anyone out there that's watching right now, you can email tripodbetting@gmail.com. But with that, let me hand it over to you, Winnie. Let's roll back the curtains and hear all of our best bets for Magic Round.
Well, after 5 last week, just a pair that I really liked this week. And funnily enough, they're both on the Friday night. So I'm taking the Raiders straight out of the gate, -3.5, $1.86 on Sportsbet. It's also 3.5 Dabble and better against the Bulldogs. This is just the stronger side for me across the park that I expect wins the game. It's a low line. If I had any concerns about the Raiders, they were answered last week. They were not perfect. But just the emotion that I saw during and after the game and the performance of Whiten, I think the squad is galvanized to make the best they possibly can being together for the rest of the year. And you can get a lot out of scraping a narrow victory, which, of course, the Raiders did in Golden Point. And then straight after that, I'm laying the lumber with the Broncos -10.5, which is on better as well as Dabble. Look, it's quite simple. A good team off a bad loss, because Brisbane lost by 30 points last week. They were smashed, but they remain at home. The crowd's going to be into it because I think they're going to have a successful night. And you get back Payne Haas, back Ezra Mann, while Manly are without Gerbo, and are we sure Turbo's in? I think Brisbane would love to stick it to Siebes. Those are my two best bets. What do you think?
Man, I don't want to give away too much, but I have some stats coming into this a little bit later that'll really sort of favour both of those tips, actually. So let's start with the first one. It's the Bulldogs versus the Raiders. For the Doggies, Burns is out, so Jacob Carraz comes in, and Max King's named to return early. For the Raiders, Xavier Savage returns. He's on the wing. That means Albert Hopewadi drops out. Arthur Mariota is back in the side. Corey Haduwiru-Niwa is out. The line is set at -4. We'll go straight to you because this is one of your best bets. So a chance to let everyone know a little bit more on why you can on the Raiders here.
Yes, you've got both of them coming in off narrow victories. And for sure, Carraz is a big inclusion for the Dogs, as is Max King. I was a bit nervous about my Bulldogs best bet last week when I heard King was ruled out. The Raiders do get that live wire, as you said, Savage. But interestingly, Chris has done enough to maintain the one jersey. And if I do have a concern about this best bet, it is going to be Chris's work cut out for him under some of Burton's bombs. But that's always, you know, something you're worried about when you bet against the Bulldogs. However, I like Canberra, as I said before. I believe they're the stronger side despite the inclusions. In fact, I think Canberra's basically full strength at this point in the season. And had they blown that 18-point lead last week, I don't know how they would have handled it. But because they did manage to gut it out, and because we've seen like Whiten in tears, we've seen Sticky in tears. Like, look, this Raiders team's not going to go too far, but can they push to the finals and could they do something, you know? Don't write them off because I think we haven't seen a lot of games with Whiten and Fogarty playing together in the halves since he was acquired from your Titans. And they scored 31 points on the weekend. And I think that halves combo will be the difference again in this one. And, you know, on the ladder, these two teams, I believe, both have 4 wins. The truth of the matter is the Dogs have been on the right side of the ledger in quite a few narrow games that have gone their way, whereas the Raiders have had just as many narrow defeats. So I'm comfortable. Neutral venue, superior side, -3.5.
Yeah, I've gone the Raiders here as well. I think they were really disappointing way back in round 5 against the Panthers. Since that game, they've really found their groove. They're on a 3-game win streak, I believe, with a bye tied in there as well. Both sides had a pretty tough game last round. Raiders went into extra time. Doggies scraped away with a 2-point victory. I think if two sides are a little bit fatigued, Ricky Stewart's more so a coach that can get his side up again. We've seen him do it with the Raiders for a number of years. But also the style that Ricky Stewart coaches, it's get into the grind and it's keep fighting until the final bell goes. And whether you win by 50 or you win by one, he's a happy coach like we saw last weekend. And I think that that style actually hurts the Dogs' chances because they're not going to be able to get a win like they did over the Dragons against the Raiders. They'll fall straight into that game plan and the Raiders will get them, in my opinion. The Bulldogs have never won at Magic Round before. So that's a horrible stat there for them. Raiders have won their last 6 games in a row against the Doggies. Dogs have not won at Suncorp since 2015. 8-year losing streak there. So yeah, all the stats go the way of the Raiders here. I'll say 1-12, but maybe I'm giving the Doggies a bit too much respect there. You could almost just as easily tip this one to be a 13-plus Raiders victory. And if it's close as well, Winnie, if this one is a close one like both sides had last year, Raiders actually have the highest goal kicking in the comp right now at 90%. Now, Bulldogs are only a little bit behind that, but that was largely because Kyle Flanagan was at 100%. He's not on their side. So it's a close one. Goal kicking goes the way of the Raiders. Form goes the way of the Raiders, and the stats certainly go the way of the Raiders. So I got to go on right there. Then we move on to...
And Tom comments that the Dogs might be weak-gutted on Friday. So you've got to favour Stickies Man against any weak-gutted Dogs.
Mate, you do. And I was about to say, then we move on to the Friday night game. So that's wrong because we don't have a Thursday night one. So this is the second game on Friday. It's the Broncos versus the Seagulls. The line is set at double digits, -10.5 in the Broncos' favour. I think this is a key part of it. Jake Trbojevic is out for the Manly Seagulls. They are boosted by Brad Parker and Tola Taukola, both returning in the centres. But the Broncos are equally boosted with the return of Ezra Mann and, more importantly, Payne Haas. Seagulls lose one of their most crucial players and Broncos regain one, Winnie. It's fairly easy to see why you've gone a best bet here, but a chance to go one further.
Yeah, and I think everyone knows how good Brisbane are this season. So I liked playing them early before everyone kind of caught up to that. And then, as people would know, I've been against them the last 3 weeks. It didn't go that well, although last week we're absolutely on the right side there, as Lee is definitely on the drink early, at least speaking for myself there. I think he's got some blurred vision. But I like to take a team laying a large line when they're off a shocking performance. And, I mean, Brisbane was outscored 32 straight points unanswered after scoring the opening try last week. So you don't get a more humbling defeat than that. And it's easy to see where they will improve, as you mentioned. You know, specifically pointed out that they were really going to miss Haas and Mam. So you bring them straight back in, especially Haas coming in off suspension. So you know he's fit and firing, ready to go. I mean, this game was 38-0 last year at Magic Round. And Turbo did play. And I'm going to ask the same questions. I'm not convinced whether Turbo's even in last week. You know that I went against Manly and I said I would be shocked if he played and that they should have an eye on this game. But if I'm being brutally honest, I don't think Manly wins this game even with Turbo. So it's almost smarter to hold him out again. I know teams don't really think that way. But then you've got his brother who certainly is out. And that's not good news when you need to tighten up the middle against Brisbane. Souths were able to win that matchup because that's a real strength of Souths with their middle forward rotation. But how's Manly going to hold up against Brisbane who gets back Payne Haas? I'm not confident Manly will be able to stop the churn and the momentum that Brisbane's going to create in the middle of the field. And then, you know, Carrigan offloads off the back of that, which then just opens everything up for the outside backs. And again, we've talked about Brisbane having a pretty charmed draw this season, and that continues with a designated Manly home game that, make no mistake, is obviously in front of a very partisan crowd who, I said before, is going to have plenty to cheer for and would love to serve a healthy victory up to Seibold, I believe.
You know, I can see a comment here from John Nimmo saying, graphic wrong. I hope not. For those that are tracking, I actually joked with Winnie in the background before we came live about what will happen if I get one wrong again. Manly are a side, though, Winnie, that I've struggled to get a read on all the way back to the off-season. My first ladder prediction, I had them at 13th. I thought they'd really struggled this year because of their middle depth. And I thought if they started to get a few injuries, they might come undone there. Then after their preseason form, I put them all the way up to 9th, or maybe I boarded them in the 8th, but a side that I've long struggled to get a read on. But you go to the stats here, and they've lost their last 4 games straight without Jake Trbojevic because he's just so important to their middle. That's not up for debate. With Payne Haas back, he is more than important, you know, than ever. I'll say it again. With Payne Haas back, I'm going to go the Broncos. Absolutely lock them in. I wouldn't be sure. I think that 10.5 line's quite attractive, if I'm absolutely honest. With Payne Haas back, it's awesome. The Broncos are a different side with him, and I think we're really going to see that this week. 13-plus Broncos, and I think this is a game where you can go multiple ways with same-game multis as well. You know, Garrick has 5 tries in his last 5 games at Suncorp Winnie. Cobbo's got 13 in his last 12 there. And we do have a better same-game multi for this one. We're still cooking it up at the moment, guys. It will be available tomorrow. But we've had some great results on the same-game multis so far this year. The sign-up link is in our description if you want to go ahead and prepare now while we're live. And if you do want to check out more better content, you can check out their work with the Fox League Lab on their YouTube channel. That's a tongue twister that almost gets me every time. But just remember to keep it real and ask yourself, what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential advice, call the number or visit the website on screen now. And it's also in the description of this podcast if you are listening at a later time.
Yes, you guys know that I like the Broncos, so I will tie that thinking into a juicy same game multi. We've hit multiple winners this year and actually change the pace. But speaking of hitting juicy winners this season, it hasn't just been restricted to NRL. I want people to cast their minds back 7 weeks, and I'm going to give you a bonus little flashback because we've got some good news today.
And I know you're pretty much about to wrap the show. I did share a tip in the group. I'm just going to throw it out there. If you follow NBA, I picked Joel Embiid, $3.25, to win the MVP. It's a fun award to bet on, and there's only about 15 games left in the NBA season. Check the reasoning, check the group. If you like that, I reckon he wins it.
There you go. And he won today pretty convincingly. Not everyone was necessarily happy. Any voting award, that's how it goes. But anyone who jumped on that tip was happy just in time for Magic Round.
Yeah, you could see the Joker fans' tears in all the comment sections when Joel Embiid won. Reminder for this one as well, Jesse Arthurs will be my take on Toppy try scorer. So stay tuned for that as well. That'll come out as a best bet on the post in the group and on my page after this as well.
Yeah, well, we can say that's top of the market price, just a flat $2. I mean, you can find him in $60s, $70s, $80s, and $90s where you look, but you can't find him $2 or above anywhere except for on Toppy in about the next hour. And the beauty of your take on Toppy, you can even build that into a same gamer. So you think Brisbane wins, tie that into Jesse Arthurs. You got a winger on a double-digit favorite, and you're looking at $2.40 plus odds. I mean, it's a safe one, but I like that one this week, Clarkie.
Yeah, I expect Broncos to score, and I kind of took a leaf out of your book. You know, the last few weeks, Sivo and Alex Johnston for our better same-game multis were more favoured to score, but we went the way of Dunster, eventually ruled out, and Tane Milne in the other. You're a good chance to score anytime you're on the wing and in a side that can score points like the Broncos can, I believe. Then it's the Warriors and the Panthers. The line for this one is set at minus 10.5 also in the Panthers' favour. The Warriors are boosted by the returns of Chance Nickel-Cluckstar and Tohu Harris. But for the Panthers, they've got a big inclusion as well. James Fisher-Harris is back. They average 136 more metres as a team with him in there. Massive for their middle. And Spencer Lanoue, he's named in reserves. Might return, might not win. Double-digit line, you seeing it this way or you convinced the Warriors this year?
I can make a case in either direction. I think 3 times this year I've said, beware Penrith off a loss. You don't want to play Penrith after they've lost, and you don't want to bet against Penrith after a loss. Except last week they're off a loss and they lost. So does that mean they're even more dangerous because now they're off back-to-back losses, which we can't say about Penrith all too often? In fact, New Zealand also come into this one attempting to avoid 3 straight defeats. And on the New Zealand front, Nickel-Cluckstad back is big because Egan was a late inclusion last week. So now you're getting the spine back together. Tohu Harris is named, but it's problematic with him. You know, whether he's fighting fit, I certainly hope he is. They're going to need it because on the other side of it, you mentioned another fierce Kiwi enforcer in the Vicious Fish. And then Lenu, who was a late withdrawal last week, might play this week if he's right to go. But all in all, this Warriors squad are pretty legit this year. Legit kind of finals threat, despite, you know, losing the last couple of games. 10.5 is a generous line. And Penrith's still not full strength. Put Lenu to the side. You've still got no Liam Martin. Tango's not there. Peachy's in the halves. I could definitely see New Zealand making a game of this. I know that they've always got great representation in the crowd in Brisbane. And I think all the neutrals will cheer for the Warriors as well as wanting it to be an entertaining game. Just the way I see it, I could see it being really back and forth, and I could see New Zealand mixing it up with the Panthers, maybe even for 60 or 70 minutes. But the way that the Panthers play and the patience they play with and the kicking game of Cleary and the physicality, they wear you down and they can often crack you and break you apart in the last 10. And that's where a close game can still turn into a wider margin. And so it's very hard to predict, you know, what might happen in those final few minutes under fatigue. And you might have a game right. It might be really competitive, in which case you'd love the plus 10.5. You still might not win. And that's why I understand why you make the line what it is, because I know Penrith will make this trip with a full determination and focus and probably with a nasty attitude and might take their frustrations out on New Zealand. So I'm leaving it alone. I'd love to see the Warriors make a great game of this for the crowd, though.
I completely agree. That line is right in a nasty spot where it's too difficult to go either way. I look back at the Panthers in the last 3 years, and realistically, how many times have they lost twice and had to respond? This might be the first, maybe one other time, but nothing comes to my mind. They've just been so dominant.
Probably not in the last 3 years, unless there was... Unless, like, I'm even thinking Origin period. I know they've had a loss here or there, and I know they had a few injuries and they cruised towards the end of the year because they were top by that much. But I can't think of them losing back-to-back games, no.
No, it's such a rarity that it's really hard to sit here and say, oh, they'll respond so well, or we know they respond fully. We don't know how they're going to respond. And Tohu Harris, yeah, I've still got concerns there when last time he was named three times before eventually making his return. And there was a stat going around that he makes up something like 30 missed tackles in the middle for them each game. So without him, that's 30 tackles that the Warriors are going to miss on average. This is a tough one, really, really tough one. After the Panthers' one-point loss to the Knights, I remember I sat here on the recap show and I said, well, they didn't lose, but they're going to learn from this and it's going to be a positive for them. But since that, they've then gone on to lose to the Rabbitohs and the Tigers. So I definitely got that one wrong. And I do wonder where the Panthers' head is at, as I was touching on there. For the Warriors, they've played a really healthy brand of style of rugby league this year. They've been awesome, but scoring zero last week. How bad does that dent their confidence? So there are some question marks over the Warriors as well. What I will say is it's not the same Warriors side. This is absolutely not the same Warriors side from previous years. This is a side that, you know, they've shown in the Sharks game and in others this year that they are prepared to fight for the full 80 minutes, but I'm going to go safe. I'm going to tip Panthers. I'm not going to give a tip for that line. Panthers have won their last six straight over the Warriors. The Warriors only have one win in their last six games at Suncorp. If you're looking for a value, anytime try scorer potential option, Chancellor Klukstar, he's got six tries in his last six against the Panthers. But a safer option might be Brian To'o, who has five tries in his last five against the Warriors. Then it's the Sharks versus Dolphins. I believe this is the first time two aquatic animals have ever gone head-to-head in the NRL as mascots. If you count seagulls, maybe not, but I believe, like, if we're talking underwater life, this is as good as it gets,
or an
maybe.
Eel.
Are they electric eel, though, or are they is there such thing as a land eel?
Yeah, it's called a snake.
I don't know. Let's not get into our biology on the show.
Sorry to ruin that for you, but someone else would have said it in the comments anyway. But still,
a
dolphin and a shark is a traditional rivalry for sure. You know, similar body type. So I can't wait to break it down for the followers.
And the marine life favorites in the viewership right now. Braden Hamlin-Ueli is out for the Sharks, so Royce Hunt starts and Dalvin Aucoin is back. For the Dolphins, Ray Stone is out and a massive loss in Robert Jennings. Milford and Mason Teague are back. And I did read some mail today, Winnie, that Branko Lee failed his fitness test. He was sort of yelling and couldn't get up with his hamstring. And a lot of the reports suggest Valence Tafade, who's played rugby union professionally in New Zealand, he might make his debut. He was a wrecking ball in Q Cup last year. It's your team. You tipping your boys, or are you leaning the way of the Sharkies?
Well, I couldn't tell you that I'm confident the Dolphins would win this. I'd love to see it. And they've proven me wrong before when I didn't necessarily think they'd have enough to win with. This is a tough game. It's the Sharks, I believe, the designated home team, but clearly the roadside will get a lot of love. In fact, the last time Dolphins fans were at Suncorp Stadium, they had a really good afternoon out. I don't need to remind you of that one. Clarkie, whether they can keep the Finns in it with the kind of the atmosphere and the support that they get, that's a different matter. Now, Hamlin Welle out is big, but Finucane in kind of offsets that. And Tessie New, I was going to put it more a positive spin. That's a big in, as I hoped on Sunday. Milf off the bench, interesting too, and maybe he still could start in the halves. And then you mentioned Val Meninga. They already showed a clip on the news of him being told he was starting in the huddle at the training ground. The media caught it, and everyone was like shaking his hand and high-fiving him. So they already know. Brenko's out, right? And Wayne had obviously just told him that he was starting that week. So I think that's clear, and that's exciting. Because I've seen this guy play a couple of games in a Q Cup, and he looks like a Connie Hurrell or Solomon Okata type build. Yep. So that's exciting. Look, the obvious pick in the betting is going to be Cronulla, and that's who a lot of people are going to be on because they've been so highly impressive ever since that New Zealand loss and that bye. The issue is, especially after the Sharks won by 40 last week, you get a bit of a point spread tax that line gets a bit longer because everyone wants to be on them and people throw them in their multis. But I am sorry as a Dolphins fan to say, I think the line is well and truly justified. As much as the Dolphins have been commendable lately, I just think this is their toughest game of the season, probably outside of the Brisbane game. But in a way, the Brisbane game wasn't as tough because it was easier to get sky high because they treated it like a grand final and emotion and the atmosphere was palpable in that game. I think the Dolphins need to get to that level again, that round four clash with Brisbane, which of course was at Suncorp. And if they can play like that, they can have a chance to win. Otherwise, this Shark side, they're so complete. The forward pack outworks you. Nico pulls the strings. The back line ices it for the most part, apart from maybe the odd try where Mulitalo might botch a put down. And it's a bit like the Panthers Warriors game in that even if it's tight for 65-70, you take that plus start where 9.5, I've even seen 10.5. You take that line with the Dolphins, you're going to be nervous right till the end that that back-breaking try could come. So I lean to the Sharks -9.5.
I'm leaning that way as well. I think it might be a little bit short. The Sharks are a very complete football side, and if I'm asking right now who's the premiership favourite, I'd say it's between them or Rabbitohs based on recent form. Would you agree with that? Am I missing someone?
I still look on form. You could say the Sharks form's right up there, but premiership favourite, I think it's Rabbitohs for sure.
Yep.
I still don't know if the Sharks can get to a level that's, right there with Penrith. We're going to talk about Storm in the next game. Roosters looking good. I still feel like the Sharks are maybe a little like a tier behind those sides. But if they keep up this form, then, you're probably crazy to rule them out. And the Sharks did beat the Roosters a few weeks ago. So not on South Sydney's level. And South Sydney does have the head-to-head over Cronulla. But, yeah, to be fair, not far off.
I think South are probably a side with more X factor. But I think in terms of consistency over a season, I'd take the Sharkies. If I had to say right now, I probably would go the Sharkies as my personal
favorite. Is that like maybe you could say you got more, Sharks have got more chance of winning the minor prem because like they're gonna have less players play Origin, stuff like that. But if you really could have any team to win a grand final, it's kind of like you look at how many South players are gonna potentially get picked in Origin. That's for me why I have them higher because I think they have the higher echelon players. But let us know in the comments what you guys reckon. Maybe I'm just I'm underrating the Sharks, which I've mistakenly done before.
And maybe I'm overrating them as well, but this is a side that finished second last year. They've quietly worked their way into second again this year. The bye did help them. They have one less win than some teams there. It's also a side that was missing their halfback, actually. Nico Hines wasn't there for the first three or 4 weeks, which does
they
make
still beat like Parramatta in a game without Hines.
Yeah. Exactly. So the Sharks are a very impressive side. That being said, it is hard to completely write the Dolphins off in any game, right? We saw last week, they just don't give up. And so maybe that is a sign and maybe that's why the bookies have gone the way of this shorter line. coming off a golden point loss, though, Winnie, where the NRL's now come out and said, not you were robbed, but you were done at a pretty crucial call, which three tackles later did lead to the match-winning field goal. Where's the Dolphins' motivation at? That seems like a pretty hard thing to come back from. It's pretty soul-shattering to know you went your hardest and you played your best footy for 85 minutes to be dudded there. Whereas the Sharkies are a side that they're definitely not a high. They've won three in a row since their disappointing loss to the Warriors. Haven't shown any signs of slowing up yet. Magic Round's another big occasion. So I'll tip the Sharkies. I won't only tip them. I like that line as well. I think they will cover that and win by 10 points or more. But we talk about the Dolphins issue when and the motivational factors, first game against debut, etc. Wayne Bennett is going to coach his 900th first grade game. If you're an Omen bettor or a Dolphins fan, maybe there's something there for you, because that is a remarkable achievement. 900 first grade games coached. Honestly, guys, soak it in. We might never see this again. I don't think we will, actually, to be frankly honest. An incredible man, an incredible coach. Then it's the Storm and the Rabbitohs. This is a pick 'em. There's no line for this one. There's no changes to the Melbourne Storm side. There's one slight change for Souths. Davey Mowali drops out for Liam Knight, who made his return from a pretty nasty ACL injury last week in New South Wales Cup. You just spoke up the Bunnies pretty highly there. Is it safe for me to guess that they're your tip in this one?
Slight tip, yeah. Yeah, not quite a best bet. I did consider them. There was a few games I got close to, so I'll let you guys know. And Sharks was one, the previous. Souths, in fact, I like Souths a bit. So I will tell you now, that's going to tie into the mixed matchup, which I've got to share after I talk about this game. But firstly, what a ripper. Someone commented before, could be game of the season. I remember a couple of years ago, we had Panthers Storm set up to be the Saturday night blockbuster, and they were both just in gangbusters form leading up to Magic Round. And then just a week or two before Magic Round, the Storm copped some injuries, and I think they end up taking the field without Pappenhausen, maybe missing someone else like a Harry Grant or something on the day. And Penrith won comfortably, but like the way it's all shaped up, you've got the Rabbitohs that we've just been discussing. They're the hottest team in the land as far as I'm concerned. You've got the Storm, who are off the bye. And there's another one that I should have probably done better preparation, but I'd love to hear from other people. I cannot think of one team this year that's had a bad performance after the bye. I really think everyone has come in strongly after the bye, but I'd love to hear if there's even any example of a team not playing well after the bye. So you know that the Storm just gets a natural lift from that one. And they're both like close to full strength. I mean, obviously Pappenhausen's still not out, but other than that, you meant like Tui Kamikamitha's not there, Mowali, but these kind of like, bench forwards. Other than that, they're pretty close to full strength. They've already met this year, so you factor that in. And Melbourne was actually victorious in Sydney. And I remember discussing that game with you, Clarky, and we talked about how Latrell needed to get more involved. And that is kind of what's happened since then, as well as Souths getting some key forwards back on deck. And, you know, they were scintillating just a week ago on the same deck at Suncorp. So I wouldn't write South Sydney off in this one. They are the better team for me. What it comes down to is the forward rotation. I think that they can win the middle, and then both sides have got stars, in key positions. But for me, I would go the Rabbitohs. You said it's pick 'em. I've seen some places are down to, a 1.5 line. I would take Rabbitohs head-to-head because I could see it going to, going the distance and maybe even bonus footy if we're lucky. If you're a neutral, that's my tip. I would go Rabbitohs to win. But in fact, I've also got the mixed matchup built into this because I did lean to Rabbitohs and it worked out well with the team totals. But before I share that one, who are you taking in this?
I'm going to go Bunnies. I can see a tip from Luke Burrow from YouTube. He says either team by 10 or less, Storm and Rabbits. That doesn't seem like a bad one.
No, on the bye,
it'll be interesting. We say a team hasn't played badly yet. The Knights are in Bali right now, currently partying. So that'll be the most interesting team to see how they return off the bye. Does it boost them or does that hurt them? Last time these two teams met, I tipped Storm. And I tipped Storm and said, I'm not going to underestimate them. I'm done underestimating the Storm. But I think Latrell Mitchell will have a huge game. We had a very quiet game. But since then, like you said, he's been remarkable. Now, I won't underestimate the Storm, but I won't tip them either. Just because I feel like these sides are so closely matched this year on paper, on form, in recent years, that they're quality both enough to go 1-1. The Storm have already won one this year, so I'll go the Bunnies for the other, who are on a four-game winning streak. Against some real sides too, in that it's the Panthers, Dolphins, Broncos, and then the poor Doggies, they put 50 on them. So when we talk about recent form, the Rabbitohs are in as good a form as anyone in the competition right now. That being said, the Storm's record against them is brilliant. They have won 8 of their last 9. That includes the game earlier this year. Here's an interesting one, because Alex Johnston has not scored the past 2 weeks, Winnie, and it's his 200th NRL game. And people use this a bit of an omen bet. They say, oh, you know, third time's a charm, right? So he hasn't scored the past 2 weeks, so this would be the third charm. But he didn't score in his 100th or his 150th milestone games either. It did score in his 50th, so it would be the third time a charm on two fronts there if he was to get over for a try. But it's a different bunny side right now. I'm going to ride with them. They're riding with plenty of confidence, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I like the fact that you say like they're likely to split the season series, because I think revenge factor is a real thing as well. When you can look at how a team beat you last time and you can somewhat, you know, game plan to mitigate what they did to you last time, you're certainly not going to be caught unaware. So, look, and Melbourne off the bye are going to be prepared. They're a Craig Bellamy coach side. So, look, I don't want to take much away from Melbourne. It's a low total game. But what do you guys think of this mixed matchup? You know I'm against the Doggies on Friday night. I like the Raiders. So I don't think the Doggies will have a heap of points in them. I think the Raiders will restrict them. I think that game will be low scoring Friday night as well. So South Sydney to score more points than the Bulldogs. And that's for a double up. That's $2 odds, max 200 stake on Toppy. You can use the promo code TPLive if you'd like an account. Of course, always ask yourself, what are you really gambling with? And for free and confidential advice, you can call the number that's in the show description or visit gamblinghelponline.org.
Man, I love it. I feel like with that mixed matchup, it feeds into both of the way our tips are going this round. So really like that a lot. That's all the Saturday games wrapped up. We've still got the Sunday games. Before we get to the Sunday games, let's pause from our preview and take a moment to hear from Tristan Merlihan, the CEO of Top Sport, with a market review or preview.
I think I am going to cut in here, mate, and now I can't seem to find the graphic I was looking for. But anyway, just before we do throw to Tristan, I want to give away 3 more tickets because we've got a massive tripod crew, the biggest ever assembled, going to Magic Round triple header on Sunday that we're about to break down. Giving out a bunch of tickets, giving tickets to people that owned tripod merch, people that wrote why they wanted to come in the group, people that commented on the preview show, the recap show last week, and heaps of people that have contributed to the group along the way. So lots of familiar faces that you're going to know. And to win the next 3 tickets, I'm going to tap into people who are true tripod followers. And if you're a true follower, you've watched the 12 commandments of punting or you've listened to it. So comment any one of the 12 commandments and the first 3 different correct commandments to get commented. You're coming with us on Sunday. As those comments come through, let's hear Tristan's preview. And of course, it is thanks to Tristan and Top Sport. Not only that we do this show, now I can see the graphic I was looking for before. Not only that we do this show, but that we have this event happening on Sunday. So let's hear how the markets are shaping up.
Hello everyone, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and we've got Magic Round, only a few days away now. Everyone's very excited up here in Queensland. We've got 8 high quality games. Hopefully that pitch holds up because that's been the talking point. It looked a bit ugly there midway through that Souths game, but hopefully they've got plenty of work into it over the last few days, and that's made it very, very difficult to price up a lot of these games, particularly the unders and overs, and you know, just trying to work out what the impact is, how much it shifts the impact, where we position the line, and I suppose monitoring it as the round goes ahead. Luckily, it looks like we're going to have clear skies, though, in the lead-in to the match. Just having a look at the round ahead, a couple of the big moves of the weekend so far have been the Broncos. They've gone from 8.5 out to 10.5, so they've been one of the best backside. They were pretty competitive for a long time against the Bunnies and then just fell short in that second half. And then the other game that's seen a big go, a really, really big go, has been for the Tigers. They obviously got their monkey off their back with their big win against the Panthers. We opened them up at 2.5-point underdogs against against St. George Illawarra. And now that game's close to pick them. It's 195, the Tigers 185, the Dragons as we speak. So that game's very important for the lease wins market because that market's become very tight between those two teams now in the betting. And I suppose the victor of that will drift significantly in that market. Looking forward to meeting a few of you at Magic Round. We'll certainly be up there for all of the Sunday festivities. I think Jacob's going to do another little giveaway later on in tonight's show. So good luck to everyone having a punt over the weekend. Look forward to seeing a few up at Suncorp on Sunday and enjoy the footy. See you guys. Gamble responsibly too.
Good stuff there from Tristan.
Congratulations, Carl is coming along. Carl, you got one right. Luck versus skill is one of the commandments. We break down the difference there. Justin, congratulations to you too. We'll get in touch with both of you guys. Justin's commented value. And if we can get a third one in. Yes, it's coming in now. Staking and bookie edge. So getting in contact with me, guys. That's our three winners. If you haven't seen the Tripod 12 Commandments, that is a must for anyone that wants to improve their punting.
I'm just looking up now myself.
Value, like staking, bookie edge, when to bet, fade the public, bonus bet, subscriptions, arbitrage, keeping your accounts, luck versus skill discipline, and surprise, no one said never cash out. There were a couple others that popped up on the comment thread that I won't repeat, but if you're watching, you probably read them, you might have had a chuckle. So I've got people. Now, sometimes I struggle to actually get in touch with people who've commented through YouTube, so you may have to reach out to me if you're the person that made that comment, those winning comments. But congratulations, guys. One more chance to win tickets in the Tripod group Friday, and I've also got another exciting announcement, but we better get back to these previews because as Matt Blanche commented, we have the game of the round. Some would say was South's Melbourne, but many others would say it's the next game that we're about to discuss.
Oh, it has to be this game. It's a pick-em for a reason. These sides are in great form, both elite side competition. I'm surprised we didn't mention these sides before when we talk about premiership favourites. For the West Tigers, Nate shifts to centre. For the Dragons, Zach Lomax and Jacob Liddell have been dropped. Toby Couchman has been dropped for Michael Molo. And there's some mail today that Ben Hunt has trained at hooker all week and will play there against the Tigers. It's a pick'em game, Winnie. I think this is about as big a coin flip I've ever seen in the NRL. Do you have a tip or are you stuck on this one as well?
No, I mean, when people are doing their tipping comp, it's often pretty easy to just tip the favourite. Like, it's usually like the logical team. You know, people will like to find an upset here and there. And we certainly gave you a couple last week. You know, Titans, Bulldogs, great upsets. And when a game is pick'em, they're always the ones that people hit me up and say, who do I tip my tipping comp? I'd love to somehow have this higher power to just tell you who wins. But sometimes I look at a game and I'm with you. It is kind of a toss-up. Could definitely go either way, in my opinion. Hence why I don't have a best bet on it. Look, if Hunt plays hooker, to me, that's finally the dragon spine that I was calling for like 12, if not 24 months ago. And it's taken Hook that long to finally unleash. I mean, you have had Sloan, and he held him back and didn't let him progress last year. And now we're seeing what a talent he is, although he did get a bath from Jake Avarillo last week. You got Amone. I understand there was off-field issues, but he's got real potential at 5'8". You got Jaden Sullivan. You've got to figure out what you've got in him. So he's got to play or else you've got to move on, but you've got to give him a chance. And then you got Hunt, who's like nearly won Queensland's best of the series in like three different series playing hooker. So it's a pretty logical spine to me. Yet we've seen combinations. We've seen him buy start. We've seen him buy play fullback, and the Dragons have not gone anywhere. So I would like them to let the kids play, and Sua will be a big inclusion because I feel like they've missed that punch on an edge. I thought he'd actually been quite good this year. Your mate Lomax is obviously the talking point. I've always kind of had split opinion of Lomax. Like, he's made rep camps before. He's a young player, so he's got potential, but he certainly paid accordingly. He has moments of brilliance. I mean, his ability to go and get a high ball is a real skill. That's elite in the competition, and athleticism for his position and a skill for some of those flick passes. But yet there's the decision-making at time. There's obviously defensively, because I just mentioned Avarillo. He was the one also who he ran around. And is it just me or Lomax? His goal kicking is down to 60% this year, and it just looks to me like he tries to boot the cover off the ball every kick. And what's crazy, the stat I heard being thrown around recently was they've lost their last four games. Had they won their last four, they would be equal top of the ladder. And you might say, well, yeah, had they won their last four. But they actually scored equal or more tries than their opponent in every game of the last four. So they've actually been thereabouts. But that doesn't make you feel any better, I don't think, as a Dragons fan. Whereas Tigers fans are feeling good. And what you sometimes get when a team snaps a long losing streak is you get a jolt of energy, you get positivity at training, and sometimes that losing streak theory that when that's broken, the team can actually ride a bit of a wave. So I think the Tigers could put in a really good performance again this weekend. But do I want to back Wes? I mean, I considered it. I know just a couple of days ago I saw him at like $2.40 and I thought that's generous. Now they're in at Pick'em. I'm not really interested. I think a lot of people are going to take the Tigers because the Dragons keep underwhelming and disappointing, whereas the Tigers just beat the back-to-back Prems. So when everyone's thinking that way, it's hard to get additional value. And the thing is, across the park, like the Dragons didn't fluke a lot of those games against some decent opposition like Anzac Day against the Roosters, where they did outscore them five tries to four, you know. So on the balance of it, there's a case to be made for either team to win. Let me know who you guys reckon and who you pick in Clarkey, since you said you also see it as a coin flip.
I'm going to go Tigers with no great... Start with Ben Hunt as a Queenslander. I absolutely love these at hooker. I think that really helps us in the Origin series, just getting that, you know, fluidity back in the position. I miss Saw as an inclusion. I did see earlier this week he was speaking to the Queensland team this year, so he could have a big game there for... You're right on Zach Lomax. The Dragons have a new kicking coach who said, you're kicking it too high and over the post. You need to kick it flatter and harder. And as a result, his goal kicking has dropped from as high as 81.6% down to like 60% this year.
Not just any kicking coach, Darryl Halligan, right? The greatest ever kicker in the NRL. By the way, I can hear like a clicking, almost like your audio is cutting out. But I don't know if... So it's like your microphone in the port or anything. I don't know if there's anything you can do about it, but see how you go anyway.
I got the AirPods in, sorry, because everyone was paying out of my last headphones. Now the AirPods are letting me down. The Dragons have made some questionable changes here too. Just being honest, I thought Jacob Liddell was in good form. I'm not sure why they felt the need to drop him. I guess if Ben Hunt's going to play 80 hooker, that just... But the Dragons have scored more tries than their opposition in the past 4 weeks, that's combined, lost all of those games. So maybe not the dropping the goal kicker. I don't think it's purely, hey, Zach Lomax, you're kicking poorly, like we're going to drop you. There has to be other stuff based into that decision. Who goal kicks for the Dragons now? I think it will be Ben Hunt. Toby Couchman was another player, Winnie. I thought he was playing okay. He scored his first NRL try. He's been dropped. Now, the Tigers have not April 22. So you can't, although there might have been some value at 240 for me, that value is now gone. I can't really justify a bet either way on this game. They've lost 7 of their last 8 in Queensland, and Dragons never won in Magic Round. There's nothing really screaming out to me. The reason I'm going the Tigers, I will say, is because even though they were losing those games, they were still winning the second half. There was improvements each week, and they did have good completion, low missed tackles. You put all that together and you think that, okay, now this side has a bit of confidence. Maybe that areas they were lacking in, such as their goal line attack. And so I lean the way of the Tigers for that, Ray, but not with too much great confidence.
And although we don't have a tip, games like this sometimes are made for punting, because sometimes you've got to have a punt to have some fun. Like, oh, I don't want to spoil some things we've got planned for the event on Sunday, but we'll definitely have some group action. We'll definitely have some things that are up for grabs, and we'll definitely have plenty of things to cheer for, as well as this could be a good game for just everyone to catch up and be able to meet some people as well and have one eye on the footy when something exciting happens. Well, maybe I'll give a teaser. Alex 12, just got this tingling. I've got this tingling. And we need to all agree, do we storm the field if he does score his first career try? Because that could be a historic occasion.
I feel like if 1,000 people did it, then the rest would just start to fall at that stage. But I'm going to put a legal disclaimer in there because I don't want anyone to come back to this video if it happens and say I encouraged it. Don't do it, but it would be cool to see. Boys, the line for this one is set at -10.5, I believe, in the Roosters' favour. They're without Paul Momorowski. Drew Hutchinson moves to centre. Jake Turpin is back on the bench, and Jared Waria-Hargrave is back also. For the Cows, they are with Heal and Lukey, and that's because they're who has been suspended. Pretty easy winning. Not too sure if you think the line's a little bit too large, but I've got to go the Roosters here. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd have to go the Roosters now. I'm just looking on Toppy. Some people were asking about that anytime try scorer. So Jesse Arthurs now is $2. He may not have been at the moment we said, but they've put it up now, and that's keep it up for about an hour to take on the public and offer the best price on the markets. Now, you guys, you've got to be careful what you wish for. You know, people always love to complain. People were complaining for how many weeks that Clarkie didn't have AirPods. Now he's got AirPods. And it's crackling away, and we can barely hear half the stuff he's saying. So this is what you're going to be sometimes. Sometimes if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But we'll see how we go with that. Moving to Roosters Cowboys, the second of a triple header on Sunday. So Waria Hargraves back for the Roosters. Like, I don't want to oppose them. I really feel like they got humbled against the Storm and the Sharks. They even got to scare the Roosters at the hands of the Dragons, as I mentioned before. They've shaken up the halves, which is kind of Robbo's way of saying he's not mucking around anymore. And I do think the Roosters are ready to go on a run. And I think the hallmark of when the Roosters are playing their best footy is when they're defending well. They held New Zealand to scoreless, which you said on Sunday was the first team held to zero all year long, Clarkie. And then you have the Cowboys. And while there's some ability there, and sorry, I will put up that graphic as well, Roosters 10.5-point favourites. They're a bit of a mess, aren't they? I mean, you get blown out by 40 in the Paul Green Tribute Cup, you know, like, and you lose another rep player in Nane, and I know Lukey back will help, and I know it's a decent line for a side that, you know, came third last year. But I'm obviously reevaluating my opinion of the Cowboys. They're not as good as I thought. They're not as good as any of us expected. And when you look at their roster, you know, you used to look at it and go, geez, that's a complete 17. But some of those star players, if they're not playing their best, then the players around them don't look so good. I mean, how good is Jake Granville? I mean, it's unbelievable that in the space of 12 months, he started at fullback and at prop. Like, he's incredibly versatile. But how good is he? Tanoa Brown, Cohen Hess, Chad Townsend, Petr Hiku. I feel like those names resonated last year. You looked at them and they were all playing, you know, career best form. Career but best. Now they're not. I just don't know how many of those guys walk into other first grade squads, you know, like, and therefore right now in form, not many. So therefore the Cowboys are below average team. You know, they kind of look that way, in which case I wouldn't take the plus 10.5 because I don't see a lot of weaknesses on the Roosters front. I think the fact that they've reintegrated Tupanua and Crichton, as I've said, but then you've got the form of the Butcher brothers and the middle forwards, especially with Rhea Hargraves back, look as strong as anyone. If there's a weakness in this Rooster side, a bit thin on outside backs. Daniel Tupou's out, so kind of like your centers and wings. And obviously Momorowski was the latest casualty. Drew Hutchison's going to play out there. Maybe that's a weakness. But the Cowboys are going to need to show so much improvement to make this a good game, and I don't have the confidence in it. So I left this alone with a lean to the Roosters.
I'll just do a mic test before I go. Am I all good?
Sound crystal clear, mate.
All right, well, we switched back to the old school setup. We'll never use the Mrs. AirPods again. Mine seemed to work fine last week, but alas, DJ Clarkie is back with the Call of Duty Warzone headphones. I will just let people know quickly before we go on. I ranked third in Australia for wins on Apex Legend wearing this very headset. So, and I had the best ratio in the world of games played to wins. So put some respect on my name. I don't want to see no slander about these headphones no more, guys. I won't have it. But yeah, I'm actually really keen on the Roosters here, Winnie. Like, really keen. My tip of the round, if I had to say, would be the Roosters. I wish it was 9.5. I'll still play 10.5, but 9.5 is just a little bit more comfortable for me because 11 is such a strange score that as soon as you put up 10.5, for me, you're more or less saying it's two converted tries. I'm not sure if it works out that way in the punting world, but that's how I view it anyway. Now, I don't care if this is a low-scoring game, high-scoring, it rains, sunshine, played on Mars, the Roosters will win this game. I hope that doesn't come back to bite me because that'll make a great sound clip if it does. But how can you tip the Cowboys? Let's be honest. Playing last week in honour of their late inaugural premiership-winning coach that I believe some of them might have played for, you can't tip them. You can't. They have not been themselves at all this year. Their wins haven't really been impressive, I'm being absolutely honest. I know that might sound salty because one of those wins was against my Titans. Fair play to them. Well done. But yeah, they haven't impressed me in some of their other wins this year. They kind of scraped those wins by. They are low on confidence. I've got the Roosters 200% here. I think they're pretty high on confidence, playing some great footy. They have won their past five games in a row against the Cowboys, and the Roosters are also undefeated at Magic Round. They've never lost. So, yeah, Roosters for me all the way. We close
just
out the
round. Just got to go back to a comment from Keegan. He said, if 12 to score, you're pulling Maland Eel. So that could stick now, the invention of the land eel, which is I already think has got a double entendre euphemism there. So this is the kind of good gear that you get tuning into the Tripod Live, where anything can happen and we could say literally anything.
Mate, if the Eels want a rebrand, I'll do a rebrand. The logo can be Keegan with his land eel in hand into the word Eels. I don't know. Keegan, DM me after this. Let's chat. So it's my boys, the mighty Gold Coast Titans, up against the Parramatta Eels. The line is set at -300 in the Titans' favour. No, I'm just joking. I don't think it's that at all. I think it's a -6.5 in the Eels' favour. For us, we've got Jaden Campbell at fullback. That's because AJ Brimson is out and Cruz Leeming returns off the bench. For Eels, they're not mucking around. Their mid-season recruit, Andrew Davey, slots straight back into their side, and that pushes Cardi to the bench. -7.5, if you will, on the Eels for the line in this one. They've got a pretty good record over the Titans in recent games, Winnie. I think you're going to go there with your tip. Am I right in that?
Yeah, I have to. They didn't even need Madison last week. I mean, he's back. So it's another side that, to me, looks like they're poised to go on a run because they're close to full strength. You know, last week they showed up to play against the Knights. But the thing that I really noticed, which was brutal for me watching it, because like I had a first half best bet in the Knights, although it was a relatively painless death because it was over pretty quickly. But you could really tell the Eels sense blood in the water. They realized the Knights were off the boil and they just made them pay and pulled them apart. And the only thing the Eels did wrong was muff a couple of finishes of some line breaks there, where I think they had five first half tries, could have been nine realistically. So I think that they're a dangerous outfit, these land Eels, and could, especially because they had a tough start to the year, that they can't be complacent, can't muck around. They want to stack some wins. So it's a really tough ask for you in this one. And they're off a long prep as well. And you got AJ Brimson out, who's, you know, one of your best players. Four and named. Like, I'm sorry to say this, but like, because I was on the Titans last week, I do get frustrated. It's not his fault, but he gets hurt nearly every game. Yeah. Like, great guy, great leader. You'd like to think that part of Fifita's resurgence this year may be to do with the guidance and the, you know, veteran leadership and the pointers that Foran's given him. You know, they're both playing on the same side of the field. But it's just hard, though, when you're on the Titans. Like, you can't trust that Foran's going to get through a game. I get worried. There's one time where he just ran the ball, and I was just going, pass it. Because, you know, if he gets tackled, he'll get injured. And sure enough, he did, and he was limping after that. But the forward pack's not a weakness. They've been going great guns, as I just mentioned, for Fifita, but others as well in the Origin mix. However, you know, you're meeting strength meets strength with Parramatta, who also have a really strong forward pack with rep players there. And then the difference is the quality that Parramatta has in their other key positions, particularly the spine, which I think has to be the difference in this game. And I do think, sorry to say, Clarky, that Parramatta wins, and I was really close to laying that 6.5. You know, if that line was even a flat 6 or 5.5, I'd probably had to have made that a best bet.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm tipping the Titans purely out of loyalty, but I think even -7.5 for the Eels is good value against us with more changes to our side. The interesting thing with Foran was when he actually played the whole season last year at Manly, every single game, and I just knew as a Titans fan that's bad news and that there was some injuries
around
the corner.
Great time to sign a new contract.
Yeah, and we kind of looked at Foran, as I think we were saying together at Suncorp, we kind of looked at him as our Lord and Savior. Everything will be fixed with Foran, with an experienced playmaker. And don't get me wrong, we have improved under him this year, but probably not quite to the extent our fans thought we would. Realistically, we have a bad record against the Eels. They always seem to do very well against us. I know that because I went for the Eels before the Titans came in the comp, and who my whole family goes for. So you'd almost say Eels are my second side, if I'm absolutely honest. And I just think with how they played last week, they'll take so much confidence from that. It could have been the game where they were close for the whole start of this season. They were close. They were just losing games. Something just wasn't clicking. Against the Knights, that something might have clicked. And if it did, -7.5 is great value there for the Eels, if you got that feeling. Because it was particularly around their spine, how they took the line on. They were running. They were confident. They made the right decision 9 times out of 10. And they just blew the Knights off the park before they could recover. As a Titans fan, I have to make it very clear, we can be blown off the park in a very quick span of time, and we can get out to a lead and we can still be blown off the park. So if you believe in the Eels here, I'll say it again, that 7.5 does look quite juicy. We're not a noted defensive side either. I just think if Mitchell Moses, Dylan Brown, Gutherson, they start taking our line on, unfortunately, I think they will get through. We're averaging 30 misses per game, Winnie. And I was going to throw a stat in there thinking we'd be one of the worst. We're actually not. We're at about 7th for missed tackles. And the Eels are missing 34 on average. They're missing more than us. So stats aren't everything. But
if the hole is so big that the player runs through untouched, is it not a missed tackle?
Just straight to the line break.
Maybe I look, hey, respect to your boys. They held Manly to just 10 points at 4 points, what it's worth. We needed them to win the mixed matchup. So I will say that. But I like your point you make there about the fact that Parramatta might have really gotten right with the win over Newcastle. It's that soft kill that gives you the taste of blood and gets you to go through your gears. And so then you can find that higher level repeatedly in weeks after. You definitely get the sense. Like, I think this is a tough spot for Gold Coast. I guess one minor advantage is, you know, it is in Southeast Queensland, so the travel is shorter for them. And you'd like to think some of their fans will get out. And through TopSport, who are hooking us up with these tickets, I think they've actually arranged it. It's not easy to get that many tickets all together, but I think they've gotten some help from the Titans. So we do thank them for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really, really great work there by TopSport. Eels have won eight of their last games in a row over us. Sorry, Winnie. And I know everyone will be together for this game. So some potential try scorers for people to consider if you are planning on building a potential multi. Alofiana Cam-Pereira, our winger, he's got 9 tries in his last 7. And we spoke about the Eels spine taking our line on. You've got to look at Gutho, I think, for that. He's got 8 tries in his past 7 coming off a hat trick. Maybe if you like the Eels, you go that line. Maybe if you like the Titans, you take us with a head start. There's some try scorers for you to consider as well. But with that, Winnie, I think that is our show. Am I correct in that?
That's right. So, of course, we should say no live recap Sunday night because the footy won't finish till 8. I'm going to be obviously at the ground, unable to jump straight into a live show. So we might just do that Monday and I can let everyone know how the day went. If you've scored a ticket and 3 more people did score them tonight, so get in touch with me or I'll try to get in touch with you guys. Final chance to win tickets will be Friday. I mean, if a ticket becomes available, 1 or 2 on Sunday, we'll give them away in the group as well. So if you're desperate to come, we'll also tell people what section of the stadium we're sitting in. So you can definitely come say good day and, you know, let me know what you thought of my Friday night best bet. So my fingers are crossed that we can continue this 4 best bet winning streak into the weekend. And then I might be a little bit more popular on Sunday rather than people out for blood. But I do also have a really exciting announcement that I won't say anything more about, but I will do a live video on Friday again in the Tripod group if you're interested in that. But Magic Round, guys, again, a night off footy tomorrow night. Make the best of it to earn some brownie points, to earn yourself as much time as you can to enjoy this feast of footy that's going to be served up.
Mate, I love it. Thank you very much to everyone who tuned in. Hopefully everyone has a great time at Magic Round. Apologies I couldn't be there. I'll be there next year with you guys. And we will see you on next Monday with our recap show to wrap up what promised to be a great round of footy at Magic Round. Thank you very much, guys.
Lego.